Jackson Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by ZipRecruiter.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. As flames ripped through an assisted living facility in Fall River, Massachusetts last night, fire crews encountered people screaming for help. Nine people died. Firefighters pulled Alamanza through smoky hallways to get him out.
All the smoke went right in my face, and all I could do was just stand there and choke.
CBS's Jim Crisula also reports.
Firefighters say they could have saved more lives had they had more manpower. They say that prevented them from having an adequate response to the deadly fire. Union officials say the closing of fire stations and cutbacks on staff in the city have been a problem for decades.
No word on what caused the fire. As tourists flock to the south rim of the Grand Canyon, that is not the case on the north rim, which has been shut down because of two wildfires. The White Sage Fire has burned almost 50,000 acres. And CBS's Ian Lee reports from Fredonia, Arizona.
Sweeping through another part of the north rim is the Dragon Bravo Fire. It destroyed the historic Grand Canyon Lodge, one of approximately 50 to 80 structures that have been lost so far.
You know, one day your house is there, the next it's not. So that's really tragic.
The U.S. Forest Service says lightning is believed to have started both fires.
A group of farm workers in Los Angeles is calling for a nationwide three-day strike to protest the Trump administration's large-scale immigration raids. CBS's Nydia Cavazos.
It's a group of farm workers in California who are calling for a national strike that would be from Wednesday through Friday of this week. And what they're asking for is demanding an end to the ICE raids. They're asking for immediate citizenship for farm workers so that they can continue to work and not necessarily have to be working under the fear of getting deported.
While meeting with NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte at the White House, President Trump announces a plan for European countries to buy U.S.-made weapons to send to Ukraine via NATO to defend itself against Russian attacks. Rutte adding,
Ukraine can get its hands on really massive numbers of military equipment, both for air defense but also missiles.
The World Health Organization and UNICEF have released new data about global child vaccination rates. The data found that last year, 89% of infants worldwide, about 115 million babies, received at least one vaccine. Kate O'Brien with the WHO says the data also found that more than 14 million children worldwide received no vaccines.
Children living in one of 26 countries affected by fragility, conflict, or humanitarian emergencies are three times more likely to be unvaccinated compared to children who live in stable countries.
This is CBS News.
Are you looking to hire? ZipRecruiter finds the best candidate for your job fast. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA, the Bucks losing to the LA Clippers, 106-91 in summer league action. Bucks GM John Horst asked if he's had any contact with Giannis after all the roster changes they've made.
We talk to Giannis all the time. I'll go visit him after summer league. You know, there's a reason we don't really speculate or talk about any of this stuff ever. Entirely focused on our job. Our job is to build the best team that we can, present that to him, present the vision and the plan, and go and kick ass in the next season.
Baseball, the Brewers drafting five new players, three pitchers, two infielders. The draft continues today. Milwaukee beat the Nationals 8-1 to complete a three-game sweep heading into the All-Star break. But Sal Frelick suffering a hamstring injury after sliding to catch a pop fly in foul territory.
You know, his hamstrings last week, he was feeling it a little bit and cautious and got treated for it. And then when he slid, he felt like it got worse. We recommended he come out of the game.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The summer box office remains financially healthy thanks to The Man of Steel. Superman was the top dog, to no one's surprise, pulling in $122 million domestically over the weekend and almost another $100 million from overseas. Here at home, that's the third biggest opening of the year. The news was good for DC Comics as director James Gunn is also the co-head of the whole operation, so they needed this to be a winner. Rounding out the top five were all big-time blockbuster-esque films. Jurassic World Rebirth was the top dog last week and came in second place with $40 million big ones. In its third week of release, F1 delivered $13 million at the box office. And rounding out the fourth and fifth place were kid flicks How to Train Your Dragon, which came in with close to $8 million, and Pixar's Elio, which came in with just under $4 million. Superman is expected to top the charts again next week, as there will be no real competition until The Fantastic Four, First Steps, hits the big screen July 25th. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, warm and muggy with a low in the upper 60s. For tomorrow, sunny, warmer again, little humid, highs in the upper 80s. On Wednesday, a mix of sun and clouds, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, highs in the low 80s. It's 82 right now.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, State Senator Jamie Wall, Dan Schaefer from the recombobulation area, and Chad Holmes recaps his poker tourney action in Vegas.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, any cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
What does it mean to begin?
To all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Hey, Dr. Stately's with us today, and then later on we have Maureen Harding. And Hardy, and she will be talking about her company, and so we're excited to have her on. And it's also Big Elders Day coming up, so totally excited to have her on later on. Dr. Stately, welcome as always. Thank you so much for being on and being just the groovy guy that you are.
Bonjour. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Hey, Dr. Stately, I don't want to get like really political right away because I'd love to hear some updates of what's happening at Native American Community Clinic. But I just thought of something that, you know, the community's all upset about, you know, like Florida Alcatraz and all these things that are happening. And they're just going just as far back as the Nazis and Hitler. But, you know, we know where he got that information. And it's all about reservations and Trails of Tears. And I know Ho-Chunk went through their own five Trails of Tears, where we were moved five different times across this continent.
Yeah, I think that's the one thing that they don't ever really talk about. In the general public is where Hitler got his ideas from. He extracted those ideas really from like the way in which the federal government, the United States government, even before it was a government, their colonial practices were genocidal, and he extracted a lot of that information and how to implement concentration camps and all the other kinds of various forms of poor treatment that he did, and to not just the Jewish people, but pretty much anybody who wasn't white Anglo-Saxon, right? And those ideas were provided to him by, he just studied the history of the way that America treated its native people.
Yeah, I just wanted to lead off with that because I listen to a lot of podcasts and radio during the day, and it always seems to be slipped through their commentary when they're outraged with what's happening, which we are outraged that it's happening to our relatives, our brown and black people all over the United States. But let's get this history clear where this really came from.
Well, you know, I mean, I think that there's a real, the big challenge there is that there's a real benefit to keeping things invisibilized, right? So like when you don't talk about history and you don't talk about it accurately, and you also don't sort of like clarify for people the nature of history and how things really happened over the last several hundred years, it's easy to sort of gloss over. There's a benefit to not mentioning it. There's a benefit to not reminding people of where that came from. It serves the intention or the desire to sort of make America look like they're amazing, right? To make the United States specifically look as though they are heroes and look as though they are, you know, without reproach. And so that's part of it. And then the other part of it is like, you know, it's like just keeping people generally in the dark about the accurate history of your nation provides the opportunity to, you know, brainwash them, you know, and, you know, essentially gaslight them. So there's a reason that they do it. There's a reason why it's left out.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just want to let everyone know on Native Roots Radio, I just wanted to bring that up, and I don't know if it's call it out, but just bring it up as a discussion, because, you know, we've been here 10,000 years, you know, and so rustles my feathers a little bit, my turkey feathers, not my eagle feathers, but just a little bit. And so I just wanted to bring that up because I know you are kind of the voice of reason here on Mondays. Ho-wa.
I think the other part of that is like, so like, you know, how we talk, like when we talk about historical trauma and we talk about the harm that caused to our communities, well, we oftentimes are not able to sort of enter into the conversation with, I mean, I've had multiple conversations with people. I've delivered talks and done lectures, and I even taught a class at the University of Washington School of Social Work on historical trauma. Like not paying attention to those things, not talking about historical harms, not talking about the way it looked and the way it was structured within a system of governance and a system of operating within a nation's political structure. Not paying attention to that and being really clear and really accurate about it provides the opportunity for us to think like, well, that's just something that happened hundreds of years ago or 500 years ago. There's no link to those things contemporaneously, currently, right now. And so, you know, it protects, it protects the system from being able to be called out specifically how that's operationalized today. Like historical harm, historical trauma is a series of events, catastrophic events that happened over multiple centuries and generations historically, but it's also happening still today. The systems that created the mechanisms to create those things and support them, institutionalize and make them, you know, part of the state, the way the state operates in government, those things are still at play. Those things are in process today. Many of those things haven't changed. And so, we don't talk a whole lot, or at least our country, our society doesn't talk openly about that as being a real thing. And that's how they can say, like, why don't you just get over it? Or it happened so long ago. Well, those things happened long ago, but let's talk about what's happening right now.
Yeah, well, it's funny too, because the perspective of time, I've had some friends, especially recently when Red Lake wanted to get their whole lake, like it was supposed to happen originally, that I've had friends reach out to me, and white friends, and say, you know, I support you, but we've been there for a couple generations, you know, and I just have to kind of chuckle to myself, and like that's a long time.
Well, you know, I mean, yeah, I mean, we can do like a whole entire couple of shows on this conversation. It's a deep conversation. Yeah.
It is, but
I've had the same conversations with people that I know that have cabins and stuff like that and reservations in Minnesota. I'm like, well, you know, just leave your cabin.
Yeah, exactly. Or leave it for me. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we're Dr. Stately. We're going to get an update next segment, I promise, on what's happening at Native American Community Clinic. But sorry to drag you in that, but I just was thinking, whoa, but you're the guy to talk to and have sensibility. We'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Your heart beats for generations. Take care of it.
There's a lot that we can do to take care of ourselves. And so I think it's important to take the smaller steps and break it down into more manageable pieces, because the little steps leads to big changes.
Every beat of your heart tells a story of love, resilience, and hope. For Indigenous women, taking care of your heart means creating more moments with the ones you cherish. Let's protect that story. Learn more at hennepin.us/heart-beats.
Rudy Luther Toyota is the dealer you can trust. Go to rudyluthertoyota.com to browse their inventory of new and certified pre-owned vehicles. Style, performance, and reliability, you can find it all at Rudy Luther. With every new and certified pre-owned vehicle, you'll get a Luther Advantage card. Save 10 cents per gallon at the pump and get $6 Works car washes at Holiday Station stores. That's right, you can get a great vehicle and help stretch your budget even further. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Four Sisters Farmers Market is more than a place to shop for delicious organic food. It's a celebration of Indigenous culture, food sovereignty, and community. Now in its 11th season, the market offers healthy, affordable, culturally appropriate local foods every Thursday from 11 to 3. Located on the American Indian Cultural Corridor off Franklin Avenue, Four Sisters Farmers Market is a project of NACD. Every Thursday now through October, discover more about Four Sisters Farmers Market by visiting NACD.org. Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, we have our friend Dr. Stately here of Native American Community Clinic, CEO, and it's always great to catch up with you. You are one busy dude, Dr. Stately, and I can't imagine how busy you are now, going right through the middle of construction, or the beginning of construction, I should say.
The beginning. We're not even close to the middle.
Right. That was a slip of the tongue. I've seen that big hole, but I see pylons in there now, and that's very important to keep the building steady. Tell our listeners how they can support you, and a little update, support the clinic, and a little update of what's happening.
Oh, sure. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it. So we broke ground in our building last month, and, you know, it was first week in June, and thankfully we haven't had any significant drawbacks and due to weather or anything like that. So it's been a really nice, I think that one, there was one day, a couple weeks ago where it was in rain for like 2 or 3 days straight. Mm-hmm. We were pretty anxious that that would be too wet for us to do anything, but it dried up pretty quickly actually. And we haven't ran into any challenges so far, which is good. So we're a little bit ahead of schedule, which is great. I just want to be ahead of schedule. I think one of the things I would say is that, you know, the exciting moment for me was when they put up the crane, you know, get this big, huge crane. They're putting in the infrastructure for the crane. I think last week, middle of the week, I think when I was on site, because I was off site on Wednesday and Thursday for meetings. And then I was coming back from St. Paul on Friday, and a meeting I went to early in the morning, straight to the meeting, and then came to the clinic right after that. And I looked up and I saw on the crane and I saw the big, huge American flag.
Hopefully it was upside down.
No, that was my first thought. I was like, okay, I'm gonna have to tell them to put it upside down. But yeah. You know, our partners who are not indigenous, you know, they're like, you know, so we're trying to train them and teach them and stuff. But we actually asked them to, you know, I'm like, you know, it's not that we're anti-American, but I think, you know, part of it is like, you know, there's the American flag now has some, you know, contentious sort of you know, things that are attached to it in our communities and also across the United States. And that's been true for a while, but it's especially a heated conversation given today's context in the current administration and all of the things that are happening as a result of that. And so I was like, well, you know, I would really like you to have the Minnesota flag up there, if I had to be honest. And I'd like a couple, like, you know, I really wanted to go really far. Like, can you put all of the 11 nations flags on that crane? There's certainly enough room. You know, there's
right.
People all the way back, which I would think would be really, really cool. But anyway, it was, you know, a busy conversation to have with them. And, you know, they made it happen very easily and very quickly. Like, within a day, it was changed. And I said, you know, and I would, we don't want to, you know, we're not here to scold you. We're here to help you understand, like, why that is a challenging issue for our community, right? Mm-hmm. And I almost asked them to turn the flag upside down, but that would actually be create other problems, I would think, of a different nature. But the project is coming along really well. I think, you know, we've had a couple of, like, small little blips here and there, but I think I might have mentioned this to you, like, about 3 weeks ago, we had Buffalo Heart ceremony where we buried a buffalo heart at the center of the clinic, which was a beautiful experience. Really, really small ceremony. There's not a whole lot of people involved. But one of the things that I loved, Barry Hand, Dakota elder, was our ceremonial man, was our intercessor. He kind of led the ceremony. And one of the things that I loved about my conversation with him when we first started having a conversation about doing a ground blessing ceremony, right? White people prioritize groundbreaking and celebrating that, which is fine. We did mm-hmm. the thing. I wanted to bury our prayers at the center of where we're building our new building. Back on the Equinox, we had this beautiful ceremony where all of our staff and some of our board members and some people from the community that are just, you know, have strong connections to the clinic came. They offered their prayers on the spring equinox, and we put them into a bundle, and we buried that bundle with a buffalo heart in June on the summer solstice. Mm-hmm. And that was important to me because it really aligned with the idea of, like, we're giving thanks to Ouachimaca, to Mother Earth, for allowing us to build this thing here, allowing us to create this project that's going to support our community and our people for multiple generations. And we want to express gratitude, and we also want to ask for prayers for Nobody gets hurt during construction, and nobody, and people are, that's a place where people find a place to heal, to congregate and socialize, and they get support. And they come there for when they're happy, when they're joyous, when they want to celebrate, when they grieve and they're in mourning. They really want to be a source of support to them in all these ways. And so that was a really beautiful ceremony. And it was led by youth. So what I loved was, like, you know, the young people, they buried the heart. They did all the things while the rest of us kind of watched over them and kind of guided them. And what I loved about that is that, you know, the youth really are the future leaders of our community over the next several generations. Mm-hmm. It's our responsibility every single time we have one of these things, that an opportunity, is that we're teaching them the responsibilities that they will hold in their adulthood and in their elderhood, and they'll pass those teachings and those responsibilities on to their young people. It's really important to sort of make sure that that was done. And so it was just a beautiful day, and it was really an emotional moment to me. You know, more than like all of the other things that are going on around the construction project, that specific event was something that made me feel really, really good about what we're doing. I knew there was an eagle flying above us for a period of time, and it was just a beautiful experience knowing that, you know, we didn't publish this, we didn't talk about it, we didn't like tell people, okay, we just had a small little ceremony where we did the things that we needed to do.
You know, it's interesting, you as being the great leader you are here in the community, these things that you do, and then I do, and I did for my nation, will be enjoyed for generations long after we're gone. And I think bringing that up, talking about selfless things, you know, that we've been taught and that you teach and your organization works on, is a beautiful thing, because you know, you talk about the youth, but we also talk about what we're leaving the youth. And this clinic is just going to be something that'll be going on for generations after we're gone.
Yeah, we talk about it, we speak about it as our seventh generation project. It's like, we, you know, we created a building and a footprint that has a net zero impact on the environment. We have, you know, we're trying to create a zero carbon footprint. That's really important. When, you know, South Minneapolis is like one of the most polluted areas in the Twin Cities, you know, and that has direct impact on our and the environmental health. What we do, it's like, you know, the phrase, you know, what we do to the earth, we do to ourselves. Well, you know, if we can be a beacon and a shining light and encouraging new projects to take responsibility, like do something to heal the earth, do something to heal the environment, that's one of the ways that we take care of ourselves. What we do to the earth, we do to ourselves. And so it was a really intentional process in that, and the creation of that building, to do that, because we wanted, not only because it would lower the cost of living for the people that lived in the housing above the clinic, and allow them to, you know, use their resources to support the building of the rebuilding of their lives, and support their ongoing livelihood. It was a good thing to do for the earth and for the community, to not contribute to, you know, harming people's health by creating more waste and more carbon footprint.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I just want to give you a shout out too, because that's the next seven generations. I know you and I know about that, but I wanted to give you a shout out here on Native Roots Radio.
It's a good reminder. Like, we're all the seventh generation, like you say on the radio. We're here because somebody thought about us.
Absolutely. Well, Dr. Stately, I really, really appreciate you coming on, as always. Great segment, and hope to see you soon. And thank you so much for being on.
Thank you. I'll see you soon. Take care.
Sounds good. Thanks. See you later. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. CBS News Brief. 9 people have died in a fire that broke out last night at an assisted living home in Fall River, Massachusetts. CBS's Tom Hansen.
It wasn't just the flames, it was also the smoke. The fire chief here tells us that presented one of the biggest dangers for the people inside. And when you factor in that many of the residents were elderly and disabled, getting out on their own was nearly impossible.
The Grand Canyon North Rim is shut down due to 2 wildfires. CBS's Ian Lee says the largest, the White Sage Fire, has charred almost 50,000 acres.
One official told me that they can't attack it direct on. They said it's like a tsunami of flames, so they're attacking it from the sides.
A nationwide 3-day strike from Wednesday through Friday is what a group of farm workers in Los Angeles is calling for to protest the Trump administration's large-scale immigration raids. CBS's Nydia Cavazos.
California is the largest agricultural state in the country, and so there's a potential for a significant economic impact.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Bucks lose to L.A.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA, the Bucks losing to the L.A. Clippers, 106-91 in summer league action. Bucks GM John Horst asked if he's had any contact with Giannis after all the roster changes they've made.
We talk to Giannis all the time. I'll go visit him after summer league. There's a reason we don't really speculate or talk about any of this stuff ever. Entirely focused on our job. Our job is to build the best team that we can, present that to him, present the vision and the plan, and go and kick ass in the next season.
Baseball, the Brewers drafting 5 new players, 3 pitchers, 2 infielders. The draft continues today. Milwaukee beat the Nationals 8-1 to complete a 3-game sweep heading into the All-Star break. But Sal Frelick suffering a hamstring injury after sliding to catch a pop fly in foul territory.
You know, his hamstrings last week, he was feeling it a little bit and cautious and got treated for it. And then when he slid, he felt like it got worse. We recommended he come out of the game.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Do I recommend Superman? Sort of. As a video, it rocks. But as a movie, I guess it's still just okay. First, the good. James Gunn keeps the action and story moving along nicely. The film relies on what we already know about Superman, his adoptive parents in Kansas, and Lex Luthor, who in this installment resembles a certain billionaire. The filmmakers choose to go right to the bells and whistles, i.e. action, music, and some stunning effects. They even introduce a character that looks like it stumbled into the wrong movie from Jurassic World. There were a few other tangential issues I had, including a couple Daily Planet reporters who didn't even need to be in the film. And with a total of about 5 lines, actor Wendell Pierce as Perry White had absolutely nothing to do in the film. But Pierce is a great actor and deserves the residual checks coming his way. The main players, David Cornsweet and Rachel Brosnahan, are great as Superman and Lois. Having said that, there is definitely enough cinematic energy in this movie to make the theater-going experience more fun than watching it at home. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, warm and muggy with a low in the upper 60s. For tomorrow, sunny, warmer again, little humid, highs in the upper 80s. On Wednesday, a mix of sun and clouds, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, highs in the low 80s. It's 82 right now.
When you speed while driving, you have less time to react to whatever comes across your path. Another car could turn out in front of you. A large truck could break suddenly. A pedestrian could be walking their dog, and you won't have time to course correct. The speed limit doesn't just protect you. It protects everyone around you. So slow down, obey the law, and keep everyone on the road safe. Speeding catches up with you. Paid for by NHTSA.
Breaking sports radio show news coming across the ticker. In a move for the ages, 105.5 WIRI has traded for playmakers. Join us 4 to 5 Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays. Hit us in the numbers by calling with your sports takes and feelings. We'll have James, Randy, Michael, and Seth bringing you local sports coverage and news that you won't hear anywhere else. Thanks to our friends at Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods. Be heard 4 to 5 every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on 105.5 WIRI's newest roster edition, Playmakers. We speak sports.
Maggie Dawn.
At the top of the show, I'll be joined by former U.S. attorney and host of Amicus, Jim Santel. We'll discuss the big takeaways of the last term of the Supreme Court.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, thanks a lot, Wendy. Hey, Marn Hardy, good to see you. Thank you so much for coming on. We got a lot to talk about here and appreciate you coming on. And tell us a little bit about, you're the co-founder of Spirit Care Services. Let's talk a little bit about that, and then let's get into what's coming up here soon. Big elder. Now that I'm an elder, I can go to these things.
Hi, hi everybody. So this is...
Can you hear us?
I can hear you much better now. It was so weird.
Okay. Well, welcome, and tell us a little bit about Spirit Care Services, and then we're going to talk a little bit about a big event coming up. Can you hear us?
Absolutely. It seems like it's like a 10-second delay. So let's try it, and I might have to log back in. But hey, everybody. So I'm Marn Hardy, and I am a co-founder of Spirit Care Services.
Wait. That's cool. Marn, why don't you leave and come back?
I think there's a delay. I'll do that right now.
And then Wendy and I will tell jokes to each other while you're coming back.
Hey, Wendy. Okay.
Yeah. Hey. Yeah. Sometimes it's just one of those technical glitches, and you just get on, and there's a default, and you can't hear somebody, or there's a delay. So yeah, what are you gonna do? So yeah. Well, it's really, I'm gonna remind everybody, it's really, really hot out there. Place some water pans out there for the wildlife. I had a little squirrel doing a froggy, laying down on the deck like a frog. So, okay.
Can you hear us okay now?
I can hear you so much better. I think you know what it was. I had my own Facebook page playing just to make sure I could listen to Dr. Stately and getting ready around my house. And I think that's what the overplay was. So, bonjour, everybody. Hey, Wendy.
Hi. Hey,
thanks so much for coming on, and let's talk about Spirit Care and what services you give to our elders, and then talk about the big event that's coming up. And we haven't had you on in a long time, so it's great to see you.
Thank you. I missed you guys. Although I would see you guys at your events and Franklin Avenue, walking down to get you a little Indian taco from Mr. Rice.
Yeah.
So Spirit Care Services is a health provider company that my best friend and I started almost 3 years ago, and it was to focus mostly on Native American elders who were lacking in services, especially for our low-income elders. My grandmother being a boarding school survivor, you know, our elders with historical trauma and not wanting to ask or speak up for services that they know they need to help them stay in their homes longer. That is one of the biggest things that Spirit Care really wants to focus on, is homemaking, transportation, and companion care. And as we all know, in the Phillips community or any low-income neighborhood, it's hard out there for an elder. And to get anywhere to do household chores, to walk to the store or get groceries or anything like that. So Spirit Care is really focusing on making sure our elders not only have transportation to get these services done, but they have great caregivers to make sure that they're with them. The isolation with their children being in these encampments or on opioids or losing a child to this opioid crisis, it's a huge deal for us to make sure our elders get these great, and I can't stress the word great enough, how wonderful our caregivers are. One of our best mottos is where Spirit Care Services, where clients become family. And it's kind of, the roles are reversed, because they become our family. You know, it's to see these elders work with their caregivers and see the change in their lives is really.
Oh, she just froze. Wow.
That is amazing.
It really is amazing. You know, when people get old and they don't have money, like she said, you know, the poorest people who are elderly can't access certain services. And I remember my grandma, she was just, you know, she just was living on her Social Security check, and she would take, you know, Metro Mobility, that Medicaid would pay for. But this is really a wonderful service that they're providing.
Yeah, definitely. Maren's back with us. Wendy was just saying what a great service you're giving our elders. How can people find out more about this and sign up their elders?
I did send you the link earlier, but if people go to spiritcareservices.com, there is a link there. There is my phone number. If people don't have my phone number, I think everyone in the hood pretty much has my number. It's the same number I've had for years when I was doing outreach. And it's just, you know, when we have elders who tell you, I don't want to go outside because I look with my walker, because I look vulnerable, that's a problem.
Wow.
And I'll tell you, dealing with some of these insurance companies and case managers who, A, have never met their client, and B, have never even been to South Minneapolis, the Phillips community, that's a problem. Mm-hmm. You know, because these elders deserve as much help and assistance to stay in their homes as anybody. And when they don't even know about some of these services, that's a huge problem for me. And, you know, I get this from my mom and my sister, is I don't play nice with bullies because they're not good people. And I feel like that is exactly a great description of an insurance company. And when they, you know, don't want to give them transportation because they have a bus card, okay, that's great. But there's an encampment on the corner of the bus shelter where everyone in the bus shelter is doing drugs. Where are they supposed to go? So I just feel like this is such a service that in our Native community, we don't have a day center, a Native American day center. We don't have a Native American assisted living facility. You know, we don't have these services. We have the wonderful congregate dining at the Indian Center. We have powwow grounds, which is awesome, but we don't have just one specific thing for elders in our community. So we really want to focus, again, not only on Native American elders, but low-income elders, or anybody with a waiver who needs these services. And it's just such a forgotten issue with us that, and I know I'm very repetitive when I say this, but none of us would be here without the guidance of an elder. And it's so easy to forget that. And with Spirit Care, we're bringing back the fact that we need to recognize this fact, and we all are going to be old. We all are going to get there, and we all want the best care for our family, our parents. But what about the parents who are the elders who don't have anybody? Who's going to help them?
Exactly. Wow, that's.
So how do you find these elders? Do you find them from younger, like somebody like you're talking about who may not have any family? Mm-hmm. How would they find you?
Well, for one, I did elder advocacy work for the Division of Indian Work for almost 10 years. So, and I ran the food shelf there for 10 years. And so if anybody knows me, they know that I speak out about everything. When I was in recovery, a recovery coach, when I was doing outreach, when I worked for Gozi at the wall and a navigator, when I was doing homeless response coordination, I speak up about injustice that I see. I just don't know how not to, you know, I don't understand how people don't see that sort of stuff. So when I see elders, my first thought is, do you have a waiver? Do you know about these waivers? Do you need help? Who's your insurance company? And I have the best team. You know, my business partner does all the legwork, all the heavy work. I just do the talking. Maxine, she does all the important stuff. But it's just about getting to these communities, you know, getting to the public housings, getting to our elder housing, Beat Again, Elders Lodge, St. Paul Homes in South Minneapolis, some of these assisted livings that are waivered oriented, that we just ask them, do you have a waiver? Do you have anyone helping you? How do you maintain taking out your trash, or how do you get to the store? A lot of these, they go, I can take the bus, and absolutely not. Or Metro Mobility, they're, you know, I don't care for them very much because they stand up a lot of our clients, our elders. They don't like to come into Phillips community. And our elders are left to navigate getting to the food shelf with five bags of food. How do you get home? On the bus. You know, my dad still works at the Division of Indian Work and gives people rides home and hands out my card like Skittles. So it's about community, and in our community, we really look out for each other. And the word of mouth about Spirit Care is really, really taking on a form of its own. And then we'll talk about the Elders Day, but that's a huge day. I just talked at a table at Wisdom Steps.
Yeah.
And that was great up in White Earth, my reservation. So it's word of mouth, Wendy, is really big.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That really makes sense.
That's awesome. That's a talk a little segue into this big event, because I want to have you on a couple times before this event. Because it's really important for Native Roots Radio to amplify the good things that are happening in our community, and also the people that are listening to us all over the country, you know, either get jealous or they open up their own programs like this. But right. Talk about what's coming up here.
Sure. So thank you, Robert. So we are, and this is in coordination with the Division of Indian Work, Sheena Benitez, who runs the Grandparents Raising Grandchildren group. And this is the second annual Native American Elders Day. Last year, my co-host was Diane Grooms, who does Native Elder Games. And this year, we have a great committee, myself, Maxine, Sheena, Barb Benjamin, Wabin Spears from Mille Lacs, Barb is from Wisdom Steps, Jackie Wilson, I know I'm probably forgetting people, Diane Grooms. We have an amazing committee that last year we hosted this, and we had about 250, 270 elders from across the tribal area, the state, the urban area. And then White Earth brought a bus down, Mille Lacs brought a bus down, Boys Fort, Fond du Lac brought buses down. This year, we are expecting to increase that hopefully by 150 or more. Mille Lacs has generously stepped up and offered discounted room rates at their West End Doubletree for that night for wow. $49 a night for our wow. elders coming down. I've talked to Toby up in Grand Portage, and we want to get all the elders down here. We were the talk of the conference at Wisdom Steps, I must say. So it was pretty exciting because a lot of Red Lake elders who I've already reached out to and have talked to Marlene over at Red Lake, but they heard about it after and they saw pictures and were super disappointed. I mean, we know as well as anybody how much our elders really love community. They love gathering. They like to see who's still around. Yeah. And I'll talk again after this, if I'm still able to, about some of the vendors that we're using, about who's making our incredible t-shirts. And this is just such a fun deal. I'll go into more details, but this is just, they started asking Barb Benjamin about this at the start of the year.
Well, let's take a quick break and we'll come back and finish up with you. This is really exciting, Wendy.
Yeah, wow. Stay with us.
Hey, Native Roots Radio.
Your heart beats for generations.
Your heart is so many things. It beats all the time, and it works very hard to keep you moving through your day, keeping your thoughts clear. It's the most important organ in your body.
Every beat of your heart tells a story of love, resilience, and hope. Taking care of your heart means creating more moments with the ones you cherish. Learn more at hennepin.us/heart-beats. That's hennepin.us/heart-beats.
Minnesotans age 65 plus might qualify for Health Partners Minnesota Senior Health Options. The easy all-in-one plan includes personal support, coverage for medical, prescription drugs, and dental, plus many extra benefits. Eligibility information is available at healthpartners.com/oneplan. Health Partners is a health plan that contracts with both Medicare and the Minnesota Medical Assistance Medicaid program to provide benefits of both programs to enrollees. Enrollment in Health Partners depends on contract renewal.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis Air on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Four Sisters Farmers Market is more than a place to shop for delicious organic food. It's a celebration of indigenous culture, food sovereignty, and community. Now in its 11th season, the market offers healthy, affordable, culturally appropriate local foods every Thursday from 11 to 3. Located on the American Indian Cultural Corridor off Franklin Avenue, Four Sisters Farmers Market is a project of NAGD. Every Thursday now through October, discover more about Four Sisters Farmers Market by visiting NAGD.org.
Hi, this is Governor Walz. Thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
In this portion of the show, we like to bring awareness to our Minnesota wolf population. Say no to the hunt.
No!
Oh!
Right on. Hey, we're here with Marn Hardy, co-founder of Spirit Care Services, and we're talking about this big event. I just wanted to get it at the end of the segment for a little teaser so people stay on and listen. Oh, wow. So let's talk a little bit where and when and how and a little more of the history if you want.
Absolutely. So it is the date, September 17th from 10 to 3. The location is Veterans Park in Richfield. And just if you can see behind me, I don't know if you guys can, we've got our proclamations that we got last year from Jacob Fry, the mayor of Minneapolis, and from our lieutenant governor, signed by our Governor Walz last year, and the last 2 years. We've had these amazing t-shirts made by No Words Concepts, No Words LLC in Minneapolis. If you need, it's a small business, homegrown from a Southside Minneapolis young man who is amazing, does great work. We flew in an Elvis impersonator from Las Vegas. He yeah. is back by popular demand. We have Grant Snyder from Involve MN, who will be doing the cooking. Leech Lake has donated wild rice. American Indian Community Development Corporation is paying for the Red Lake walleye. We have awesome raffle prizes, gifts. We have amazing vendors coming. There's too many at this short time to name, but we will have probably about 50 vendors. We have all the urban agencies coming. We have many shields volunteering to help serve, which is awesome. I'm hoping to get Teen Challenge involved to help serve. Our goal is to have a day of just elder appreciation. That's it. And it's just where they don't lift a finger, get prizes, get t-shirts, have fun. Jerry Dearley's our MC. Yeah. If you haven't been there last year, you can go to WCCO Red Chapman last September. I believe it was the 18th and see the excerpt of the coverage that we got for it.
That's amazing.
It really is.
That is really amazing. I guess I really missed out. I was working. But this year I'm not a legislator anymore, Wendy.
Yeah. What day of the week is it, Lauren?
It's a Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
because for our elders raising their grandchildren, we want them to come by themselves. We want the grand, you know, this is just for the elder. This is just for them to sit back, play bingo, have some raffle prizes, enjoy each other. And hopefully it was very warm last year. So we're hoping it can still like be in low 70s September. But gosh, it was like 87 last year. It was very warm. So
wow. So it's outdoors. Okay.
Cool.
Yes.
Sounds like a wonderful event.
And I have your website on the bottom scrolling, but we are a radio show. I wonder if you can get that out. It's SpiritCareServices.com and people
SpiritCareServices.com. And if you just go to our website, there is a link to donate, a donate button. You click on that button and we are actively looking for donations, actively looking for volunteers. This takes a community event. I mean, this, when we have hopefully about 400 elders this year, it takes a village to do this, including the setup, the serving, the tablecloths, the takedown, it's just, but it's so much fun. I mean, it is It is so fun to see these elders come together, knowing we should have once a month do this, but yeah. And, you know, to know that Spirit Care and the Division of Indian Work and the different Spirit Care services is making in the community, because we're branching off now to medical transportation to help with medical rides. I would like to talk to IHB. I'd like to talk to Dr. Stately about partnering with them, mm-hmm. because our elders shouldn't have to worry about how they're going to get to their appointments. It's just not okay that they sitting at home and worried about these things when they're already having these later in life issues. So,
wow, this.
It really is amazing. Yeah. I was, you know, during the, when you went off and on again, I was telling the audience about my elderly grandmother, and she used Metro Mobility, you know, when she got elderly and we were all working, so we couldn't, you know, bring her to the appointment, but she had pretty good, you know, results with that. But when she went to the grocery store, she was only allowed to bring, you know, two bags with her, because that's all she could carry anyway, you know, and then we would help her on the weekends when we could. But yeah, it's just really, you know, you come into life as a baby and you need help. And then when you leave and you get, you know, elderly, you need help. It's just, you know,
it's a big cycle. Circle, right?
Yeah, it really is.
The circle of life. Really, yeah. Wendy and Robert, it really is. And again, and I can't stress this enough, none of us would be here without the help of an elder, none of us. And it's so easy to forget that when we have our own lives and our own stuff, things went on in our, and on our plate. And especially in our community, we know how difficult it is for our grandparents having to ask for help because of the fear of losing something in the process.
Yeah.
And the historical trauma proves that they don't like asking because what gets taken away. Right. And so for Spirit Care, I don't have boundaries. So for my elders, I get phone calls, I get text messages 7 days a week. I drove an elder this morning to the airport to go home. He's not native. He's indigenous to Panama, but I drove him to the airport at 3:30 this morning. Yeah. Because he didn't know how to do that. So this is what we do. And we're getting the reputation of going above and beyond because it's what all of us should be doing, right? And the people that I know, the people in my circle already do. Mm-hmm. And I cannot stress how wonderful our employees are. These are gems. Like on our, you know, and me having a background in a past and being in recovery, we always give second chances. And this is what it's about though, especially in our community the things that we face, the barriers as Native people face. And so it's just super important that people realize that this takes a community, it takes a village. And with Spirit Care, we love it. It's like, you know what they say, when you love what you do, you don't work a day in your life, right? Well, mm-hmm. for the past 3 years, I haven't worked. It's hard and it's challenging and it's stressful. But when you have an elder thank you and write you a card and say, or call you and say, I pray for you every day and I'm grateful for Spirit Care. That's all. That's what this is about. That's it.
Wow. This has been an emotional show for me today.
Right.
I know. Seriously. It's crazy. So one more time on the dates and where it's going to be.
Yep. So it is September 17th. It is going to be from 10 to 3 at Veterans Park in Richfield, Minnesota. And if people, the phone number for Spirit Care is 612-295-0224. That's our mainline number, but my cell phone's is on my card. But again, it's September the 17th from 10 to 3. All elders, if you need transportation, that's a big one. We provide transportation to this. We don't want anybody to miss it at all.
Wow. Well, Marn, I got to get you on the show again just before a week beforehand so people can remember about this. This is, this has just been amazing, and I really appreciate you being on.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you both, you and Wendy, and everything you guys do for our community also. And anytime you need me on here, let me know. You know, I don't shy away from the camera.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you so much. Have a great day. And
thanks,
you know
guys,
what?
Too. Giga Wabba, man.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome comedian and host of the 40-Year-Old Boy podcast, Mike Schmidt. Then local rock duo, 7,000 Apart, joins me to rock the studio. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
Don't play with matches, don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump, frustrated with Russian President Vladimir Putin for his recent attacks on Ukraine, says he'll slap steep tariffs on Russia if there's no deal soon to end the war with Ukraine.
We're very, very unhappy with him, and we're going to be doing very severe tariffs if we don't have a deal in 50 days. Tariffs at about 100%. You'd call them secondary tariffs. You know what that means.
The fire that has killed 9 people at an assisted living facility in Fall River, Massachusetts, is under investigation. Firefighters pulled Al Amanza to safety.
And I thought it was going to be the end of everything.
More than 20 states are suing the Trump administration over billions of dollars in frozen funding for after-school and summer programs. According to Loyola Law professor Lori Levinson,
some of the school districts that are most likely to be affected by this freezing of the grants are actually in Republican congressional districts.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.